we can come to your house this morning. Father, I do hope and pray, Lord, we will come with a mind to worship, a mind to, Lord, to receive what you would have for us this morning. We pray for these requests of prayers, dear Lord. We know that thou art able, Lord, to take care of all these things, Lord, that you can touch every mind, you can touch every heart, you can touch the bodies, dear Lord, and heal. So, Lord, we know that, Father, you're in complete control. We pray, dear Lord, we'll take our lives today, dear Lord, and Father, that you will use us, that, Father, we'll be vessels, clean and ready to be used of you, Lord, to go out into a lost and dying world today.
Yes.
And be a great witness. Again, Lord, help these, Father, that are in trouble, having troubles. Lord, one with the defiant spirit, dear Lord, we know that you can change that spirit, that heart. And we ask that you would do it, Father. We pray for Brother Danny and Miss Lindy this morning. Touch her body. Help her, Father, to heal and get this taken care of. Brother Wyndham, Lord, who's at home recuperating, pray for him. Father, we miss him. And we just pray you'll help him and those on vacation. We ask, Father, that you'll give him a good time. We love you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, this morning I want to cover a couple things that came up in the lessons. And one of them is should I or shouldn't I do this or do that? We can also call it rules that govern liberty, our liberty as Christians. My sins are paid for. I can do what I want. But is it what God wants me to do? Do they fall in line? So we'll get some scripture on that. And also the will of God. Many people have questions in their lives concerning, am I in the will of God? What is the will of God for my life? And that affects mainly young Christians, especially the first get saved, but as you get older, you still have that problem. Is this in God's will for my life? Let's see what the Bible says about that. First of all, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. The scriptures instruct us in righteousness, providing us to every good work. Yet we must apply the Word of God properly, study diligently, and pray for wisdom, as it instructs us to do in 2 Timothy 2:15 and James chapter 1, 5-7. We must learn to discern good from evil, Hebrews 5:14. And consider whether a specific act is moral, pure, or impure. And so we'll get some Bible principles for that. I titled it Rules That Govern Liberty. And for any of you that may teach, whether a women's class or a men's class, you can use this outline. It comes in very handy. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Take a look there. 1 Corinthians 6 and remember, when you're teaching or preaching, there's nothing new under the sun. You may have heard all this before, but reinforcement is good. You go back to the basics in anything. I don't care whatever it is, whether it's Bible study or athletics or studying a subject. You go back to the basics. You get the basics down, and then you can move on from there. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 12. And we're dealing with rules that govern liberty. How do we decide what to do, where to go? right. Verse 12 in chapter 6. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So first of all, we see, will these things become a habit to me? Is it something that I will continue doing, especially if it's not right, if it will hurt my testimony? If it brings you under its power, it's wrong. Whether it's, example, we can use eating. You know, we like to eat. I enjoy eating. Most of us do. But if we allow that to control us, then it's wrong. It could be TV. Could be working out. If that's going to take your time away from the Word of God and being a testimony, then it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. Nothing wrong with... got to be careful with TV today because just the commercials that pop up. And by the time... It's not like the old days where you had to get up and change the channel. You got the controller. And by the time you get the controller to switch it, it's already in your mind. So you've got to be careful with TV. But other things we can be more selective, more careful with. You know, how much do we eat? Do we gorge ourselves? Is it wrong once in a while to pig out? You're going to suffer for it, but it's enjoyable at the time.
Amen.
So if it's going to bring you under its control, you better stay away from it. Brought under its power, if it's not expedient, if it's not going to be helpful, don't do it. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Rules that govern liberty. And look down at verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Again, he says that, so we better be careful. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Does it edify the Lord Jesus Christ in what you're doing? Now, how far do you want to carry this? You can get real legalistic. Well, I'm not going to do that because it doesn't uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're doing certain things, you're going to enjoy those things, but it may not uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to think of an example. In my case, I choose, you know, lifting, working out. Is that going to edify the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it going to make a person vain and egotistical? Got to be careful, whatever it is. If you're going across that line, back off of it, get rid of it.
Well, you know, it's kind of like just an example, too, I think, myself. It's like, say, you're going to go swimming.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You're going to dress appropriate when you go swimming. Are you going to dress like the world?
Right.
And what are you going to show people when you do?
Exactly. Excellent example. Now, do you know what nakedness is in Scripture? Nakedness is, according to Scripture, showing above your knee and below your I'll say the bones here, whatever they are.
Collarbones,
okay. That's the example in Scripture. If that is showing, then it's nakedness. And you'll have to run the Scriptures on that. We won't do it now, but you can confirm that. In the Word of God. So you have to be careful there. Is it wrong to go to the beach? No. unless are you going to be taking in the sights there that you shouldn't be taking in, especially men. It may be the same for women nowadays. Back when I was growing up, it was different. But is it going to cause you to lust? Stay away from it. Go to a private beach. Go somewhere where nobody is. You want to enjoy yourselves. You can always remedy the situation so it doesn't allow you to fall into sin. So, will it become a stumbling block? Will it cause weak Christians to fall, or will it hurt your testimony yes. before the lost world? So, look at while we're here, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, before we leave here, look down at verse 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. That's what our goal should be, is to reach the lost. Is what I'm doing going to hurt my testimony so that I cannot witness to the lost world or the person that sees me do what I'm doing? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and look down at verse 10. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make any brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So we've got to be careful. And here, you know, they're talking about offering meat to idols. In our day and age, unless you're involved in some cult, we don't have to worry about that. But the principle here is making sure that what we do is not going to cause a saved person to stumble or cause a weak brother to stumble. Because, you know, you get involved with doing things and a saved person, especially a newly saved person, sees you do that, they're going to think it's okay, and you're going to hurt them, their spiritual growth. And then Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. And verse number 5. And this one is more applicable for today. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded and in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And then down to verses 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing that he which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I think that's reaffirmed in the book of James. Whatever you do, if it's not in faith, it's sin. If you have a question about it, don't do it. If you're not sure, don't do it. Just wait. And again, it brings our testimony into question. Do it or don't do it? That is a question. So, from there we go to number three. Is it contrary to the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So far we have, if it'll bring you under its control, it's wrong. If it'll be a habit, stay away from it. And if it is a stumbling block, if it'll cause a weak brother to stumble or a lost person to question what you're doing, stay away from it. Now, is it contrary to the Word of God? If it is, don't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, that or of a man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. So you're going to find, and you've experienced it already in your life, that people are going to judge you. It'll be for the stupidest things too. Oh, you did this, you did that. One thing I didn't cover back in steaming one day above another. Hey, why do you go to church? Why is some days more special to you than the other? Every day's the same. You know, I can go to church on Sunday. I can go to church on Saturday. I can go to church on Friday. It's not a problem because you're not esteeming the days, but you're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And then back to here, is it contrary to the Word of God? If it is, if you can find in Scripture where you shouldn't be taking part in whatever you're doing, then you better stay away from it. And there's plenty of sins that are named in Scripture, and we'll get to those in a minute. So if it's contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. And then number four, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So, carnality. There's men that we look to that we've studied under and that we hold up more than another, but you don't hold them up as your Lord. You don't hold them up as above the Lord. I've sat under some tremendous men in the time that I've been saved, and I've learned a lot from these men, but they're men. They can fall just like, and some of them have. They're out of the ministry. They're done. And some have remained faithful. So you don't put your stock in the man. It's in the Lord. And the Lord has raised up this man. And the Bible says, as long as he's following Christ, you follow him. And I don't have a problem with that. So learn from men, because That's the only way we're going to learn. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, yes, but He's raised up men to teach and train us also. So don't become so holy that I can sit home and the Holy Spirit's going to teach me. It doesn't coincide with what Scripture teaches. All right. If it doesn't glorify God, it's wrong. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And look down at verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that's how our life should be, to uplift, magnify, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially when we're amongst the lost people. Not that we should ease up because we're around believers, because our testimony should be maintained in both areas, when we're around the saved or the lost. So far, if it'll bring you under its power, it's wrong. If it's a stumbling block, it's wrong. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. If it defiles the temple, it's wrong. In that area, we covered that in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. If it defiles the temple, of course, is your body. Now, what will defile your body? You've got to think on that sometimes. Outwardly, it's easy. Drugs, booze, overeating. What other things? If it is a question in your mind, stay away from it. Don't do it. And then, if it doesn't glorify God that we just read in verse 31, if it doesn't uplift, magnify Christ to the lost world, it's wrong. And then in Romans 14, this will be an important one too. Romans 14, verses 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, if there's a question about it, if you're not sure, stay away from it. Don't go through the mental anguish of, I shouldn't have done that. Now, what's going to happen? Am I going to reap what I've sown, or what's going to happen? Don't put yourself through that mental anguish. Just avoid it if you're not sure, if it's doubtful. And then Colossians 2:8, if it's worldly, how do you define worldly? Let's take a look. Colossians 2, see if it defines it for us. Because people tell you, oh, you're so worldly. What do you mean I'm so worldly? Because I eat? Because I go places or do things? What do you mean by worldly? Let's see what Scripture says, if it gives a definition. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, philosophy, that's your way of thinking. Vain deceit, vanity, you know what vanity is. People can be vain. But it's the real definition of vain, vanity, is emptiness. You see a vain person, it's an empty thing. It's hollow. After the tradition of men, Are you following the traditions of men, or are you following what the Word of God says? And after the rudiments of the world, that's a love for the things in the world that you have preeminence before the Lord. So we have
sometimes,
to...
Brother John, just for the sake of saying it, a lot of times it's the traditions of the church gets into the churches.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we traditionally do this. We traditionally, and when you do that, God's nowhere in the mile, within 10 miles of it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's where I think a lot of churches fail. In my looking at it, because, well, mom and daddy did this way, and they did this way for 50 years.
Yep.
That doesn't mean for 50 years you've probably done it wrong.
Yeah. You're right. There are things that you see in Baptist, local Baptist churches that take me right back to Romanism. You know, the things we've done, we've always done them this way. We're not going to change. Why not? You know, it it can cause you to wonder and think, are these guys doing it, pastors, because that's the way the people have been for all these years and you don't want to change and conform to what Scripture teaches if you get more light on an area? Or is it just that we've always done it this way? You're no different than a Catholic church. So I'm not... in opposition to change, as long as it's change conforming with the Word of God. So that'll give you the rules for that govern liberty. Seven of them. Become a habit? Will it bring you under its power? Then it's wrong. Is it a stumbling block to weak Christians or the lost world? It's wrong. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's wrong. If it'll defile the temple, your body, it's wrong. Now, is it wrong for a man to go around or a woman to go around looking like they got hit with shrapnel? If you don't know what I mean, and there's nobody in here that I see, you know, earrings, nose rings, rings in the... for a Christian, is that a good testimony? You can do it, sure. You want? I'm not going to mess up my pretty face with all that junk. But is it wrong? I think for a believer, it is. Now, if you had those before you got saved, you get saved, and little by little you're getting light, you're learning, and they're going to go. They're going to go because you want to be the testimony that you should be. And there's other things. You know, people get on tattoos and all. Should a Christian, a believer, after they're saved and they know some of the Word of God, should they get tattoos? It's up to you, but and they'll run to the Old Testament and say that if you mark your body, it's wrong. And the principle in the New Testament is you're not to defile the temple. So once you're saved and you have knowledge, then, you know, if you do it and you know you shouldn't, then, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. But anyway, that'll finish up as long as it magnifies and glorifies the Lord. If you're not sure, avoid it. And if it's, you know, with the world philosophy, tradition of men, stay away from it. Now, quickly, I want to cover, we've also gone over the will of God. How do you know you're in the will of God? Does God speak to you? Yeah, through His Word. Do you hear voices? If you do, you better seek some help, unless it's your wife telling you what to do. Other than that, be careful. So, in Colossians chapter 1, I see the guilty ones. Colossians chapter 1, we begin the chapter with Paul. Let me cut this down because of time. We have a chapter that starts and ends with a man who knows the will of God for his life and is carrying it out. That's Paul. He's writing to a group of people in hopes that they will come to know the will of God for their lives and carry out that will in their lives. The material in between verse 1 and verse the end of the chapter 29, I think it is, are the teachings about the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done for them and for us as believers. And all that information is sandwiched in between. And this is the express will of God, or God's desire that people will carry out His will. So, first thing, in order to know the will of God for your life, you must know the Word of God in order to know the will of God. It's a must. But the will of God reaches far beyond just knowing the Word of God. And it comes into our putting the Word of God into effect, into practice in our lives. You can know the Word of God, but if you don't put it into practice, it's not going to do you any good. And you won't be in the will of God unless you do. And so the desire here, the objective, is that we find ourselves obedient to His will. One of the most asked questions, and one I had to, when I left the land, that was one of the hardest, I've told some of you before, that was one of the hardest things in my life, is leaving the land. I did not want to leave that ministry. That was my life. I was there under Brother Knox for over 4 years. I never missed a day, never took vacation. I loved it. It was my life. And it was so hard to make that decision. And I had to go over this. Will I be in God's will if I leave there? And I came to the conclusion that it was fine. I could leave there. And each of us will have decisions to make and will want to be right with God. So one of the most asked questions among believers, and the most source of confusion among Christians, especially young ones, is how do I know the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for my life? How do I know if I'm in the will of God? You read verse 1, Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, and you read on down through verse 9, and you have the, it's possible, you find out it's possible for the believer to know the will of God for their life. You can know the will of God for your life. It's the desire of the Holy Spirit for each believer, according to verse 9, to know His will. And it was realized by Paul and Timothy in their lives to know God's will for their lives. And they were confident that they were carrying out the will of God for their lives. Now, this should cause us to ask a number of questions. First of all, is God's will for someone's life a location or place? You hear people that want to be missionaries. I want to make sure it's God's will that I'm to go to the Philippines or to Korea. All right, a question comes up in my mind when I hear that. Is it God's will for a location? You can't say yes to that because Paul was in different locations. He was in God's will all the time. And he went to some places in the will of God and wasn't allowed to stay there. And Paul and Timothy, both in the will of God, and yet they go in different directions and end up in different places. So we can't say that it's a place that we're in the will of God. Is it possible that it's a particular ministry or exercise of a particular gift? No, we can't say that that's being in the will of God, although you can be in the will of God and exercise gifts that God has given you, because Paul at various times will be an apostle, he'll be an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a helper, and so forth. So we can't say that it's a particular gift. What particular ministry was God's will for Paul? You can't say it was a place or a specific activity. But when you read the entire passage, and we don't have time to do it now, but you can do it on your own. You look at verses 9 and 10, and then we come to the end of the chapter, verses 28 and 29. The will of God is not a particular service. It's not an activity. It's not, should I marry this girl? Is it God's will that I marry this girl? Or is it, a good one here is, man, my car's breaking down all the time. I bought the blue one, and it was God's will that I buy the red one. No. You bought the blue one. You paid $400 for it. That's why it's breaking down all the time. God's will. Should I buy a Zebra pen, or should I buy a GS 1500 pen? These, you know, I can understand a young Christian, a new Christian, but as you get older, that's stupid. Is it God's will? No, God's will is for you to get into the Word, to learn the Word, obey the Word of God, and start applying it to your life so that you bring honor and glory to the Lord. And we'll leave it there, and then that's a short version of being in the will of God, applying the Word of God to your life. I had one man call me when I was in DeLand. He said, "My pastor, I want to come down to school." He says, "But my pastor says I'll be out of God's will." I said, "You'll be out of God's will?" I says, "How is that?" And he says, "Well, he's a pastor, and he was a controlling, domineering pastor." I says, "Is there any reason biblically you shouldn't come down here?" He says, "No." I says, "Will you be in conflict with the Word of God if you come down here?" "No." I says, "Then make the move." And he did, and he came to school there, and he's still in the ministry there, or still in the church there. But be careful not to let your emotions rule and let the Word of God rule your lives. And you've got the rules of that govern liberty, so now you know what to do, when to do it, and what not to do. So I expect you all to be perfect little Christians with the halo glowing, and I'll be able to spot you miles away when you're out and about. All right, we'll finish up there, and Ben, if you'd pray for us, please.
Lord, we thank you for this time you've given us this morning to come together and study the Word and have good fellowship, Lord, in a good church. And we pray you'll be with the man of God this morning as you bring the Word. We pray you'll keep your hands on him, stand him up, protect him, keep him strong. We do ask for a good spirit today, and Lord, if anyone comes in that don't know you, Lord, let us help and bring them to you. Lord, we do thank you for all you've done for us and all you will do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.